Hello, this is Ruin Willow, and you are listening to the with Ruin Willow podcast. I'm so excited you're here today. I have really amazing information to share with you, some solutions for problems and issues, some ways to make your sex life better. We all want that, right? We want good sex. We want to improve our sexual health, make it the absolute best to the max that we can. And I have some tips that can help you do just that. And since I talk about sex on this podcast, this is a podcast for adults only, 18 plus only. So if you are under 18, sorry, it's time for you to leave the podcast now. Yippee-ki-yay! I am so excited that everyone is here listening to this podcast. I have the most helpful, amazing book to share with you, and I am talking to the author of this book today. The book is called Conscious Cock. Yeah, that's right. It's called Conscious Cock. It is written by Christopher Lovestone, The Empowered Sexuality Manual for Men, Healthy Masculinity, Sex Education, and Intimacy Tools. It is epic. I cannot wait to get into this with him and share everything he has to say with all of you. Welcome, Christopher.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for that lovely intro. And with your sexy voice, it makes it sound so good. I think if I ever do it again, I want to hire you to do the, reading, you know, because it's just, you're such a pleasure to listen to. Anyway, I'm happy to be here today. Thank you for having me on your show and for supporting me in like getting this educational material out to people, because it's so hard to come by this type of stuff these days.
It is. Yes. And I totally appreciate what you said, because I actually do audiobooks all the time. So in addition to the podcast, so I like am totally loving what you said.
Awesome.
But you know, it's so true. It's really hard to get this content out there. And I'm not sure how Amazon is with your type of book, but any kind of erotica, they will not allow us to advertise. We cannot even pay for advertisement. So I don't know if yours is able to, because maybe because it's more educational, or do they not let you advertise either?
No, I can't advertise. I can't even show up in the search results.
They banned
me from the search results. Anyway, I teach kind of like a multi-pronged approach to sexual success that's based on the container of a long-term relationship. Hmm. I'm not a dating coach. I just teach people long-term relationship success skills that are sexually empowered. So I'm teaching intimacy tools, I'm teaching communication, I'm teaching human sexual anatomy and physiology, and sex technique. You'd think I was like doing something bad that they were censoring me for, but I'm just doing basic education of like communication tools and how to listen and how to bring up your fantasies, and then I'm censored. It's so challenging to get this empowering information into people's hands. So thank you for having me on your show, because things like this help get these gold nuggets out to people so that they can have big benefit in their relationships and move towards having the sex life of their dreams.
Oh, absolutely. You know, frankly, I'm quite surprised that they also censor you, because yours is like therapy. It's help. It's promoting good relations between people. So that really kind of surprises me that they even lump you in that category, because it's like a self-help book. So how is that?
It's a self-help book.
Does it make any sense? I mean, I just love your sex positive approach, and you have like practical, realistic, usable advice. I mean,
it's really a guy's how-to manual.
Yes.
That's short and concise. What do you want to learn about? Look it up in the contents, turn to that page. 3 or 4 pages later, you've got the download, like in that movie, The Matrix, where they're on the top of the building and they need to learn how to fly a helicopter, and bam, they get the download. And now they know how to fly a helicopter. It's the same thing. I'm like, guys, come on, you've got to learn about this aspect of a woman. You know, you've got to understand her menstrual cycle. You've got to understand the clitoris. You need to understand how to touch the nipple. Like, you know, there's basic things that guys just never get taught, and they're not taught in porn is acting. It's not education.
Right. Yep. Just as a woman, I listened to your entire audiobook and I want to thank you for creating this. This is so needed in the world. And our education for sex education, and even in the United States, it's horrendous. So something like this is so valuable and it's just so needed. I just really, really happy and excited to help share this with the world. It's so needed.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, you know, sex education, especially in high school, usually is legislated or policied to be prohibited from any teaching about pleasure.
Right.
It's prohibited or illegal. I'm talking the law. Okay. Like a sex educator can, you know, be prosecuted for teaching about pleasure. But we're talking about the most pleasure nerves of any locations on our entire body. So we're not allowed to talk about that. We can't talk right. about the pleasure, right? So all we're allowed to teach about usually is birth control and pregnancy or abstinence, birth control, etc. So, but there's this whole other world of touching each other's hearts and souls through our bodies. Maybe we might want to teach people a little bit about that because it's a very important goal in most of our lives. A lot of people have this deep desire in their life to experience union with another human being through relationship, intimacy, and sexuality. It's a passionate force in our lives, right? Yet we're not educating about how to actually succeed in doing that.
Yeah, it makes zero sense. I mean, just even like they don't even like have a few sentences about that. It's just like completely avoid it. And
just avoid it.
Yeah.
And, you know, our North American culture was founded by the Puritans.
I lived
many years in Massachusetts, and the Puritans they were so uptight that the British kicked them out, and the British are pretty uptight. No, but these guys were the worst of the worst. And so that kind of like founded purity culture. And
right.
So this is a term that we can use to kind of get a handle on our cultural perspectives, our programming, our language is, oh, wow, I'm a child of purity culture.
Yes.
Right. Pleasure is shamed.
Right.
Huh. Okay. But pleasure is good, isn't it? Right. Doesn't it like make our bodies feel more alive and awake? It gives us energy, inspires creativity, triggers excellent improvement in our immune response, like touches so many different facets of our biological animal and our emotional creature. So I think it's worth putting under the microscope and studying it a little bit in our lives. Go to a workshop or two. Spend a little bit of time learning about this very important factor of our lives that normally we just ignore.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we all yearn for all of that and to not have the tools. Some people just need help with that and they need the tools to get to that point. And I just really very strongly believe your book does that. And I think it really points out a lot of areas that perhaps weren't normally thought of by men.
Oh my God, totally, right?
Yeah.
I had the blessing in my life to be brought up and surrounded by a lot of women who protected me from overbearing, domineering men.
Mm.
So they kind of like protected my heart and spirit, and it didn't get drowned out of me. I didn't get like smashed down into being a robot and a good employee. So I had this like freedom of mind and thought, and also deep understanding of how women work,
right.
How women communicate, you know, what works with them and what doesn't work with them by being surrounded by so many of them. I went to Boston University School of Education to become a teacher.
Sure.
90% of the people in school are women. I mean, I was surrounded by women all the time, you know, so I learned they're not that hard. Women are not that difficult. If you just have some basic core understandings of how they work. And guys just don't get that. And, oh, that's women's stuff. Oh, no, I can't ever pick up some pads for you if you're just got your period suddenly today and took you by surprise. I can't do that. No.
Right.
I could never go like look at the pads or tampons and figure out which one to get. Like, you know, guys are so terrified of embracing deep understanding of how women work as if it's a threat to their masculinity. But I want to flip that. If a guy can learn how his female partner works, the unique, beautiful creature that's ever changing that he's in dynamic, engaged relationship with, if he can figure out how to dance with her in the moment as she's fluctuating and changing and having changing opinions and perspectives and things like that, then what happens is a total reconstructing of the foundation upon which you can build a relationship. then you've got a really possible strong foundation that can stand the test of time, where you can bring up hard truths like those deep fantasies that you've got that you've always wanted to do, but you're terrified to bring up to somebody because you're afraid of their judgment, being shamed. Like, this is the keys to the kingdom or the queendom. Oh, yeah. Like, this is the keys to a pathway of realizing your dreams in relationship and sex life.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, but people need to be taught how to do it. Otherwise, you're trying to create something that you've never seen before. It's so much easier to copy somebody else that's already done it. So this is the whole thing I'm trying to do is, hey, this system works for me. I'm in a 17-year relationship and it continues to get hotter and hotter every year.
Nice.
Not that we don't have our dry spells or not that we don't have our fights. We do, but we are actively engaged and continuing to evolve as we change. And I have different propensities and erotic edges and fantasies now than I did 10 years ago.
Oh,
and
sure.
I guarantee that 10 years from now, I'm going to have a different landscape of interests also. So having a relationship foundation that is built upon staying engaged as you both change gives you a workable toolkit to survive long term. And then you can get to landscapes, worlds, universes in your heart, in your body, in your sex life, in your relationship that you never even could have dreamed were possible. Because it's like taking more layers off the onion. There's always another layer. Oh, anyway, absolutely. I get talking fast. So please let me give you the mic.
Well, what I really love about what you just said is that people change. Like, you cannot assume that someone is the same from day to day. And, you know, I don't like it when I hear people say, oh, well, you did that last time, or I don't think you liked it. Like, they just make assumptions based on the past and don't acknowledge that we are constantly changing and evolving people.
Yeah.
And if we don't read that, I think that's a lot sometimes where conflict can come from too, is that the partner's not reading. And I think that you do that very well. You're teaching people in this book how to read their partner and that they actually need to read their partner. You can't just assume.
Yes. And yourself. It's right. Also, a lot of us guys just stereotypically just making a gross generalization. A lot of us guys are kind of stoic and static. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just tend to stay the same in a lot of ways. Like, how many guys have the same underwear they've been wearing for 10 years? They just refuse to get rid of them, right? This is kind of cliche, right? Because it is a pattern.
Right.
But there is also the truth that sometimes change happens slowly over time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we don't even consciously know it, but something inside of us has been shifting and we feel differently about something and we can't name it yet. And sometimes it is, we are aware that we are changing, but then sometimes also change happens in an instant. Like, you think about a car crash, bam, everything changes, right?
Oh, yeah.
In an instant, right? Like a friend could have an accident and bam, suddenly like our perspective on an important issue changes. So change can happen slowly. It can happen fast.
Yes.
And it can happen in the background without us knowing about it. So this all comes back to this concept that if you build a rich, masterful toolkit of being able to embrace change in yourself and in your partner, whether it's slow, hidden, or fast, you are going to be able to create a work of art in your life rather than just kind of like a rough sketch, crayons, that's kind of like elementary. Rudimentary, like, you know, if you have good tools, you can create a masterpiece.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what we all want. I think I want a masterpiece. I mean, I imagine everybody would love to have that in their life.
We'll be back after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure the man in your life grooms his carpets and his drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Have him clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch his confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, RUAN, for the 20% off and free shipping. Have you ever been doing some oral pleasure and got some hairs in your mouth or your teeth? Well, Manscaped can help with that. Try being clean shaven for spring cleaning. After he uses Manscaped, you can say, let's get some busy with some spring fever in the bedroom. Try out Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It is an amazing trimmer that features two interchangeable heads, one for taking a little off the top and the new foil blade to go smooth. If you want to go smooth for spring cleaning, make sure you try out Manscaped products. Bring on those smooth skin, sexy slaps in the bedroom. And how do you do that? Use Manscaped products to shave clean down in your pubic area. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, all caps at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code RUIN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in his pants, right? In your pants, if you're a man. Spring clean your groin area. Try smooth. Try it with Manscaped.
There's so many people nowadays that are doing so much self-improvement work, self-empowerment work. You can think about sisterhood circles, goddess community. Like, there's a lot of self-improvement. And there is kind of a pitfall that I see a lot of people falling into of doing so much self-improvement and self-empowerment work that they miss this ability to actually engage in harmonious dance with another human being. Like, I build myself up, so I'm like really clear on what I want. And then I just end up being kind of like overqualified and no relationship is good enough for me anymore.
Right.
How many people do we know that doing this, they're doing all the work, they're trying to become the best, they're trying to magnetize and attract, law of attraction stuff. And like everyone they meet, this doesn't kind of work out because they're like, this person isn't good enough. So there is a skill here that we're talking about of actually being able to engage and accept the reality of the other person. Flaws and warts and all, right? Shadow and all, and be able to stand strong in what we want, but not disengage and run away. So it's such a rich territory to investigate. And the benefits are you could have the most amazing sex of your life and have it on a regular, ongoing basis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine having fine dining regularly, exquisite multi-course meals regularly. Like, a lot of times, people might go out once a year and have an exquisite meal, like a really top-notch multi-course dinner that just like is, what do they call it? Gusto, I forget. Culinary, just pleasure, right? Exquisiteness. What if you could have that regularly?
Oh, absolutely.
How nourishing would that be to your soul and to your sense of excitement at being alive in this world?
Oh, absolutely. And another thing I really love about your book is how you have all these like actual tools and worksheets and your Facebook group. I mean, you have like, you're not just saying this stuff. You're like, you have interactive where people can actually concrete examples and worksheets to work on. It's just very guided and very well-rounded approach. I just think it's really, really great.
Thank you. People need to do a little bit of homework.
Right.
You know, because this isn't all cookie cutter stuff that applies to everybody. No, you got to customize it for your own life and for the person that you're in relationship with. It has to be custom tailored. So there's like worksheets there. And like, what if you have a fantasy that you want to bring up that you're kind of ashamed to bring up, or you're scared to bring up because you're afraid that your partner might have a bad behavior, like stonewalling you or shaming you or like picking a fight with you, whatever bad behavior, you're like, you want to bring up this thing that's alive inside of you that's really difficult to bring up. Like, I really want to do this certain thing sexually in my life before I die.
Right.
Which is completely natural. We call that an item on our sexual bucket list.
Yes.
If your partner were to die, you know, you would still be alive for you. It's not something about your partner. It's something about yourself.
Right.
And it's okay. Yep. We need to validate these things are important, to do the things that are important to us before we die. So how do we actually bring that up? Like, people need to know, how do you actually do that? You know, what if you're just like in the routine at home and things are kind of ho-hum and boring? How do you shift the conversation so that there's space for you to bring something up that's vulnerable and do it in the safest way possible that invites collaboration from your partner? Right. And doesn't leave you hanging out to dry if they're not interested. Like, people need these tools.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's also tons of free downloads on my website, consciouscock.com. Great conversation starters, ways to spice up your long-term relationship, how to like entice your partner to have a threesome, which is one of the most popular fantasies out there.
Oh, it is. And
you're going to love this. What I'm working on is called How to Master the Art of Ravishment.
Oh, nice.
That is the most common fantasy that I hear from women, especially in long-term relationship. They want to be ravished.
Right.
But their guy is kind of like fallen into a pattern, or they have fallen into a routine together and they don't actually get that heat anymore.
Right.
And he might be doing everything to try to make her happy, but it's just not landing. And she's not feeling met sexually. It's epidemic.
Yeah.
So learning how to access this power is so exquisitely pleasurable for both people.
Oh, absolutely.
One gets to experience pleasure at giving themselves and being taken in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other gets to experience the pleasure of doing what they really want to do with the other person, being in the driver's seat. And you've got clarity of roles, who's doing what, so it's clean. And when things aren't clean, when they're ambiguous and uncertain, that creates hesitancy. That creates closure in our gut sometimes. It creates nervousness and tension, which inherently disconnects us from the present moment with our soul. There's so many beautiful things that people can learn to do, starting where they are today, to make tangible progress towards their dreams and towards improving their relationship and their sex life with simple like worksheets and exercises and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be hard stuff that you have to practice half an hour a day for 10 years. No, we can have great fun right now. Like, it's good stuff. Like what you're doing, reading erotica. Like, this is spicy. And the more that people listen to you reading erotica, the more that it kind of allows them to consider the possibility of what if they embraced more openness in their own life.
Oh, absolutely.
Like leading by example that, we can talk about these things. It's all right to talk about our body parts and the pleasure and the pain and the fear and the desire.
I love it when I hear couples or, whatever it is, whatever number of people listen to erotica, because it is kind of introduces an idea that they can talk about that's not focused on them too. They can be like, hey, what'd you think about this? And it's a starting point to talk about something that maybe they want to do or they're interested in, but they don't want it to be so personal. It's kind of like a starting ground for different topics. And that's one thing I love about erotica.
Oh, it's so powerful. And it's such a wonderful gift to tell people that, if you want to spice up your love life, maybe you've got a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you can't hit it straight on with a blunt conversation, you can approach it gently and sideways without putting anybody in the spotlight that makes them feel like they've got no options or something like that. You can say, hey, I found this fun podcast, or I read this great story. I'd love to read it to you in bed before we go to sleep.
You know?
And then talk about it. Did you get any zing at any point while I was reading that? Did you like anything about that? Was there anything that you didn't like about that? And then what you're doing is you're engaging with your partner. You're finding out what's alive for them right now, what their interests and resistances are. And that's giving you the information you need to succeed. So
absolutely.
Erotica is so powerful.
It really is. I kind of think of myself as a peddler of fantasies, where I spin all these stories and I'm just kind of like helping people dream and fulfill their fantasies and maybe even be launching points for real actual sexual interaction and satisfaction.
Oh, totally. I'm curious. Do you get any comments that stick out in your mind, messages that you've received from listeners that said, oh my God, that one thing you did, that one chapter, that one episode, that one story, like, oh my God, do they share? Has anyone ever shared that how that like had a positive effect in their life?
Oh, absolutely. I get that all the time. And it's just wonderful. And in the way I'm kind of set up, I get a lot of people, I even get people who ask me advice, and I'm not trained as a sexologist or anything, but I've learned quite a bit by all the interviews I've done and all the research I've done. So I have ideas, but which brings me to the point, I never asked you what your background is that brought you to be able to write this book. I know you said you were teaching.
School of Education.
What else did you do to prepare to write this book?
Health science. I studied health science, got a degree in health science, which basically is human anatomy and physiology. And so combining that with education, I've become a certified sex educator. But I never thought I was going to go down this path. I thought I was going to be a doctor. That was my traditional view of like the best type of healer in the world, but it never was a good fit. And I spent a lot of time working in various facilities, from mental health to sexual health, reproductive health. I worked at family planning for a while. halfway houses. I did substance abuse. I mean, needle exchange programs, a lot of time in nonprofit sector, figuring out what's the good fit for me. Do I want to do marriage and family therapy? And nothing like really was a good fit. I didn't want to work in the system governed by these protocols that were passed down
exactly
generation and stuff like that. Like I had more like liberation in my mind and freedom of thinking. So I was in a rough spot with my partner for a few years. And I was kind of falling through this turmoil of like, what's my life's purpose? You know, which can be a really, really deep thing for a human being to go into this existential place of what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, I want to have some vision and mission that I feel like I'm on my path. And the more I got into it, the more I realized, man, I really need to talk about sex. I really need to talk about relationships. I really need to talk about intimacy. And I started writing my own erotica.
Oh, sure.
Not fiction, but my own erotic memoirs. Because I've had some really amazing, intimate experiences with my partners over the years where I've touched God and had the divine come into my body, like truly existential. Exquisiteness, you know, traveling through time and space kind of experiences. And I needed to capture that. It's powerful. I want this to be a normal conversation, not a rare or uncomfortable conversation. I want to be able to talk about these things. So I just started writing my thesis on relationships. And that turned into my book 4 or 5 years later. And then that got picked up by a publisher in Vancouver and kind of launched my career here.
Perfect. That's very awesome. Well, I'm glad that you followed that path and got to where you are.
Thank you.
I really loved your discussion. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, focus on working with or helping or teaching, you know, your average guy. That's who I focus on. Because I think that they are really between a rock and a hard place these days. You know, Me Too a couple of years ago really brought out into the common eye the scale of abuse, oppression, harassment of women. And in that, a lot of guys just went into paralysis saying, oh my God, I don't want to be a part of the problem. I don't know what to do. And they put their power and their dick in a box and locked it down. And then, then we've got this narrative that like, oh, women want bad boys. Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about that. So somewhere between being a doormat and getting walked all over and being a jerk is the sweet spot, which I want to teach guys the way to bring out their sexual power and their desires, creates a relationship of equals with their partner that's engaged and dynamic. So I work mostly with guys, but my teachings are for everybody. It doesn't matter what your gender or your sexual orientation or your relationship style. But if a woman is listening to this, who's in a relationship with a man, I would say like, yes, you know, these teachings are really great for both of you. It's not all about him. Does take two. There's a lot of ways that women shame men and bitch about men that really cut them down and make it really hard for him to summon the courage to bring out his power in a better way. So anyway, I just want to take a moment to discuss that. I really do need the help of women to get my message out there to men.
That's true. And I totally say, get this book. I mean, whether you're a woman, man, any orientation, this book is going to help you. It really is. And I love when you had the discussion about wielding the power of consent and how important it is to know and respect boundaries so that you don't go too far or hurt your partner. And I loved your analogy where there's a playground. Well, you want to talk about that, the playground analogy in that scope?
It's a beautiful analogy, right? Okay, so there's this story of a study that was done of children on a playground at a school, and that when there was a fence around the playground, but they took the fence down and then they watched what happened with the kids. And the kids just kind of huddled in the center of the playground, kind of around the swings and the slide equipment. And they just didn't venture very far away. Then they put the fence back around the playground. And then the kids were running all around the playground, right up to the fence, jumping on the edge of the fence, playing up. They had the full range of territory available to them. They felt comfortable playing on the entire size of the playground. And so what this little analogy teaches, if you look at it a little bit deeper, is that actually the boundary creates liberation rather than limitation. when the boundary wasn't there, they didn't know where the edge was. It was awkward. They were unsure. So they stayed to their safe zone, which was the center with each other. So we can extrapolate this to our sexual relationships. Like if we know what the limit is and it's agreed on and consensual for our relationship or this sexual interaction we're going to have today, maybe you just met somebody new and you're exploring a new relationship. You know, if we know what the boundary is and it's agreed on and all above board, then we get to relax because we know where the limit is and we can play right up to that limit and enjoy the edge there. Maybe it's like, oh, we can make out and heavy pet, but we're not going to have intercourse, you know, for example, for like a first date or something like that. Okay, great. You know what the limit is. So just like enjoy the playground. Don't push the boundary. And if your partner experiences that you don't push the boundary and you experience that your partner is not pushing the boundary, what happens is that builds trust.
Yep.
You want a hot relationship? Do one thing. Focus on building more and more trust for the entire length of your relationship. Just
absolutely.
That. Just always focus on trust. So, you know, if you're building trust with each other, what organically often happens is that we feel like we can expand our playground. We
yes.
can open it up a bit. We can include some other things. Well, okay, since you honored me and respected me, and I feel trust with you, I'm going to say, okay, now I feel comfortable doing this other cool thing, right? And if somebody doesn't respect your boundaries, you might want to shut the playground down or make it really small, right? And say, oh, well, I'm willing to like do this one thing with you, but nothing else, you know?
Right.
So analogy of trust building by setting boundaries is what we're talking about when we talk about consent, setting a limit and then honoring that limit with each other and then revisiting that limit later when it feels like a good time to revisit it and say, hey, you know, should we move that? Is there a need to update or is everything great just the way it is? You know, it really provides a system for us to navigate leaning into doing things that we want to do.
Absolutely. And you know, people may make mistakes and push something too far, but then it's time to realize, like you said, maybe you narrow the playground for a while until the trust develops again. And that's going to take work.
And if it develops again, and if it doesn't, then what you're doing is you're protecting yourself against harm by saying, okay, I'm giving you a pathway forward. And if you honor my requirements here, that's going to build trust again. That's going to be creating repair. And then that generally tends to evolve into expanding the limits of what's possible again. But if they don't honor it and they flake, they ghost, or they run away, or, you know, or bitch at you or something like that, then you're like, okay, well, I'm glad that I shrank the playground and put in a better limit for myself because I needed that, because I needed to protect myself. So like you're honoring yourself and you're giving the other person a pathway forward with you, but you're not going to take their shit if they turn out to be a jerk.
Exactly.
Or unable to meet you in the way that you're saying you're clear on that you need to be met. Because, you know, we're all on our pathway. We're all evolving. We're all moving targets. You know, we're all so complex.
Absolutely, we are. And I want to touch on real quick. I don't know why this popped into my head, probably because I saw it down in my notes, but I was really amazed at some of your mentions of your exercises to improve sexual performance for men. Like I hadn't even, you know, I always hear women talking, you know, talking women doing Kegel muscles. I never even realized men had Kegel muscles. Isn't that kind of silly? Like the media doesn't talk about that.
Total failure of our education curriculum for human beings.
Like
we don't know what our pelvic floor is.
Right.
Guys don't think they have one.
Right.
They've only ever heard it talked about for women. And women have more to handle with it because they're the ones that have babies. You know,
right.
And they're the ones who have a vagina. Right.
Yep.
So they're the ones that have to deal with having a uterus and menstruation. Like guys don't have, so we guys have are more disconnected from the musculature that exists inside of their pelvis.
Right.
However, we have the same muscles that are connected in the same places. A lot of people don't know that the penis and the clitoris are the same structure.
Yes.
That when baby is a fetus in utero, that there is a stage of development. Like you think about an egg and a sperm, you know, it's two cells and then they combine and then it divides and it's four cells, then it's eight cells and then 16 and then 32 and it grows really fast, right? There's a point along that development where there is a bump in the genital area, just a little bump. It hasn't differentiated yet into either male or female. So there is a common structure common origin between the clitoris and the cock. They're literally from the same, they are the same thing. They have the same kind of nerve connections and the same muscles that connect to them in our pelvis. So the muscles that a woman contracts when she tries to squeeze a guy's cock when he's inside of her are the same muscles that a guy uses when he wants to stop peeing. It's the same contraction of wanting to stop urinating, stop the flow, that that is tightening this pelvic floor musculature. And then, pardon me, but like when you're pooping and you want to squeeze, like there's that muscle back there too. They're all in this interconnected muscular system that we can contract and we can relax. So they call them Kegels or PC muscle, pubococcygeal muscle. So it's the muscle that connects the pubis, the pubic mound, that bone in the front, our pubic bone, all the way to the coccyx, which is the tip of the tail of our tailbone. The pubococcygeal muscle connects those two and holds everything up inside of us. So if we exercise that muscle carefully, we build tonicity, we build control, we build elasticity. All this is strength. And so for a guy, especially if a guy's moving into his 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, he might experience that maybe after he pees, he might still have one drop of urine left as he stands up or something like that. That is a symptom that the tone of our pelvic floor muscles is eroding, which happens over time. It atrophies, use it or lose it. You know, the number one reason that people end up in a nursing home is because they can't hold their bladder, which is the PC muscles losing their tone. So if you don't flex it, then it doesn't loses strength and size, right? It withers. So their pelvic floor exercises for women are just as valid for men. And guys, if like your erection quality isn't as high as you'd like it to be, if you often come too fast during sex, or if you can't get it up sometimes when you want to, all of these can be symptoms of your pelvic floor needing to have a little bit more strength. And luckily, with a simple exercise routine, is gentle and careful and not overdoing it, you can, over the course of even just like a week or two, increase your tone and then have more satisfying erections that are a higher quality. You stand taller, they're fuller, your cock's a little bit bigger, thicker, less flexible, right? You know, just a better erection, and get it up when you want to and hold it longer during sex, right? Like all these beautiful things about sexual control. So thanks for bringing it up and naming it, because it's a really powerful thing that most people don't know is available to them, that they can actually take control over their sexual function by doing some exercises.
Yeah. And it's just so like doable and it's easy. It's not, you know, I mean, I know they have lots of products out there that can help with this too. And there's sex toys and things that can help with that too. But just even doing that, I mean, hey, that's free. And it has more than one benefit. It has sexual benefits, but it also has, like you said, it has urinary incontinence benefits if you keep that area healthy.
And then you combine those things and it benefits your confidence level.
Yes,
like how absolutely. You feel about yourself, which is so core and fundamental. So many of us don't feel good about ourselves. You know, we don't feel as awesome as we wish we did. Right. Yeah. You know, but if we can improve our sexual function and our control, like, we feel better about ourselves and we're better able to please our partner and better able to take pleasure during sex for ourselves.
Yeah. I think confidence is a huge thing too. Like if you're a man and you're constantly, you got PE and you're just, you can't hold it, almost as intimidating thinking, okay, what am I going to do this time? How is it going to go? You know, but if you work at it and get some confidence build up by doing something like this, it can totally change your sexual relations.
Oh my God. There's so much overemphasis on the cock and on intercourse.
Oh,
when
yes.
When you think about sex.
So true. True.
If you look at any porn, usually it's about the guy putting his dick in the woman and nailing her like a jackrabbit until he comes, and then the video's over. That's what people get habituated that's what sex is.
Right.
But let's slow down there. Our hands are amazing. Like we have 10 fingers, right? If you think about a master pianist or a master cellist, someone who's just like an exquisite musician, like a flamenco guitarist, like amazing music that they can create with their fingers because they're so dexterous, or a master craftsman, right? Well, our hands are way better at making pleasure than a penis is.
So
a penis has one motion. That's maybe two, you know, they can go in and out and side to side maybe, or like something like that. What your hips can do in terms of motion is very limited compared to what your hands can do.
Oh,
your hands
yeah.
have so many, your fingers have so many nerve endings. You can be so sensitive about the texture of the skin that you're touching. You can be so sensitive about how much pressure you're putting in and how much friction you're creating and exactly the timing. Like you can make the most beautiful orchestral masterpiece and crescendos with hands and your fingers. So like learning oral sex and learning hand jobs creates a world in the realm of sex that is so much more likely to have, has the ability to have much greater pleasure. And you can draw out a hand job for half an hour or 15 minutes. You can go down on somebody for 15 minutes. Sure. Yeah. Maybe your tongue gets tired. Okay, great. Switch to your hands.
Yes.
Right. And maybe do your hands for 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, we talk about sex. It's so pleasurable. Wouldn't you want to sit in that pleasure for a long time? Like, why not just inhabit that zone and be in the world of pleasure for a long time rather than just like 5 minutes or something like that? Like it can be such a beautiful thing. So guys who have anxiety, have concerns about the size of their penis or their performance ability, or are worried because they always come so fast during intercourse. Like it's okay, guys. If you shift your focus away from penis and vagina, PIV sex, to the whole world of pleasure, and you make pleasure the study focus, and how can you create more pleasure in every moment? Go take a course on Swedish massage, go to massage school, learn massage, like learn depth of pressure, sensitivity, and listening to tissue, and then bring that to your partner and say, I want to practice massaging you. Let's like light a candle and make a little ritual here and let it like sink into your body. It is so pleasurable. And then they experience the gift of you giving your loving devotion and time and energy to them that isn't genitally focused.
Right.
And that tends to create trust and an opening and relaxation, which tends to lead to good sex.
Absolutely.
But by not focusing on PIV sex to begin with, but focusing on pleasure, it creates the context in which great PIV sex can happen.
Right.
<It's> amazing.
I love it when you talk about like, don't just go straight for pussy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she's not ready. You're going to know she's not ready because she's not going to be wet.
And even if she is ready, if you draw it out, you can turn her into like a rabid beast who's just like fiending for you to go there. And that is the most exquisite thing to play with, making your partner so hungry for you that they're freaking out because they want it so bad. Like, I got to say, it is the hottest thing for a person to hear, I want you. It's the hottest thing for a guy to hear, I want your cock inside me already. I can't stand it one more minute. I need you.
Right.
It's so hot. It feels so good to feel wanted and desired. Oh, yeah. And you can build that simply by just not going to the pussy first.
Right. Exactly.
Not going to penis and vagina sex first. Just draw it out. Have some pleasure. Enjoy. Like, this is good stuff. Spend some time here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, and I think you had another analogy that I liked. Something like, would you want to go to a 5-minute movie? No. Isn't that what you said? Something about a 5-minute movie?
I mean, it's quickies are great. Especially
right.
as
they
parents,
have their place. Yes.
We oftentimes don't have the time and space to get into a lovely long movie. And we just need, all we have space for is a little quickie.
Right.
And quick hits are great and they have their place. And don't you also want to really sink into that epic story, that beautiful, wonderfully pleasurable story, and spend some time in that wonderful entertainment and pleasure. So ideally we have full spectrum. We have access to the entire range of what's available between two consenting adults, or more if you want to have a threesome or something like that. You know, we want to have access to the sensitive. We want to have access to the hard pounding fucking. We want to have access to the tender, to the luscious, to the long, to the short, right? Like full spectrum, multiple spectrums. We could call spectra plural, like the entire range of what's possible. We want to be able to have access to.
Oh, exactly. And if you don't do that, how are you ever going to find erogenous zones? I mean, you're not. If you're just going pussy sex, I mean, or, you know, penis and pussy. What did you say? PIV. Is that what you called it?
PIV. PIV.
You're totally just disregarding all the erogenous zones of the body.
Yeah, and it's cliche. It's epidemic for women to say that about men.
Yeah.
But I got to say, it goes both ways, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of women, like when they think about giving their man a blowjob or oral sex, whatever you want to call it, fellatio, they go right in and they go too fast. And like,
right.
Hello, that's the same thing you complain about guys doing. Right. What about teasing him? What about waking up his nervous system with light touch and strokes and a little bit of flicking and licking and spaciousness and timing? What I mean by that is pause. Pause builds anticipation. So when you're doing it, pause, back up.
Yeah.
Touch a little bit lighter. Like try to lick and flick into this like sparky, sparkling, fiery responsiveness where you waken up this animal, this vibrant being underneath you. If you're just going right in there and going pound, 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 pound right off the bat, like, hello, you are on autopilot. Where are you?
Exactly.
Come into the present moment with this amazing human being that's in front of you who's giving you access to their body. That is a hell of a gift and privilege. Access to another human being's body consensually. You got to honor that. And that goes both ways. So anyway, it is so good to slow down, to create spaces where you can slow down. Right. Because if the dishes aren't done and the diaper needs to be changed and, you know, the house is a mess, like that's not creating a space that's conducive to being able to slow down. So it takes some work about looking at your environment and investigating what's going on in your partner's brain. What are they worried about? Are their parents in the hospital? You know, what's on their mind? Like these things are clutter in the house of their mind, just like you can have clutter in the house that you live in. And if you clean up, or at least organize, or at least address the problems, give them some energy and intention and make a plan to deal with them. Even if you can't fix it, you have a plan to deal with it. Like that allows us to make space in our complex lives where then we can sink into sensitivity and can sink into exploring the full spectrum.
Yeah. And what I was thinking, we were talking about, you know, pausing. That also allows for eye contact. It allows for facial expression, exchange. You're going to get something there when you pause, something that maybe you didn't expect or something that's really going to inflame you. Because if you're just rushing through, you're totally missing on all that spontaneous stuff.
It really takes engagement, right? A lot of people are on autopilot and they're just trying to get the deed done.
Right.
Maybe they just need to get off because damn, they had a hard day and they really need to get off because God damn it works. It's a hell of a improvement. Oxytocin, serotonin, all melatonin, all these things that make us feel better after having sexual pleasure or arousal or release. These are real. And sometimes we just need that. But there's also this aspect of like actually being engaged with your partner, actually looking into their eyes, actually reading their body, their nonverbal communication. Are they open? Are they closed? Are they interested? Are they elsewhere? And then engaging with them where they're at. Can you meet them where they're at? And it's not always about the other person. Like you also want to like create the context in which you can communicate to the other person where you're at and have that land for them, have it be received. And when you're paying attention to where your partner's at and they're paying attention to where you're at, then you can actually meet in the middle of all the chaos. Meet in the middle of all the craziness that's going on in our lives. Cause people say our lives are so full, right? Like it's just like, how many different messaging apps do we have?
Right. I know. Hey. It's true. It's absolutely true. And I think it makes such a big difference. Just if we don't pay attention to each other, we're not doing our relationships any favors at all. And the future of our relationships either. I mean, you're just kind of putting up a bunch of walls when you do such a thing.
Yeah. You know, so many of us don't know what we want even. And we're just kind of like screeching into the end of the day every day because life is so complex. So even just starting with like being honest about where you're at is a great place to begin.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling stressed. Like I really have some desire to have some intimacy, but I really don't know how to get there from where I'm at. That starts the conversation right there.
Right.
And then you have a chance of actually finding each other rather than being two ships passing in the night, both with the best intentions, but failing to meet each other. You know, there's so many relationships where both people are trying, but they're missing each other. right? So
yep.
The solution, if I can say it that way, like there's one big solution, is to actually get oriented to each other and meet each other where you're at. Start where you're at and go from there, expressing what's up for you, listening to the other person, and really becoming engaged in the dance of your life. And where are you today? And sometimes you get sideswiped or T-boned by something that comes in. Hello, somebody gets sick with COVID, or there's right. a car accident. Like, you know, things come out of nowhere. So being able to yep. kind of lighten up a little bit and say like, yeah, wow, I'm overwhelmed. I'm not there, but I love you. And I do want you. I don't know exactly how to get there, but yes, I want to get there with you. So let's figure it out. Let's just stay engaged and keep working on finding the right direction for us to move in, because the course you're heading is the most important thing, not how fast you're going. Right. If you're working together on building a life that you both want and teasing out of each other what's alive and what you're both interested in, encouraging each other's choice and encouraging each other's voice and ability to say these things, then you're moving in the right direction, or at least the general area of the right direction. That's Absolutely. So important. Just focus on being in the right direction and just keep going. Just don't stop. Yep.
And it's just constant communication. I mean, it seems so simple, yet so many people miss the boat on this. And that's why I think it's great. You have so many tools. You have concrete examples that can help people. And you even have your Facebook group where like you're interactive, right? People can bring up questions or discussion points. So
the Facebook group is specifically for men, and keep it that way because guys aren't used to talking about sex and relationships.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now they are used to this cliche concept of locker room talk.
Right. Right.
But my group is safe space for us to talk about relationship issues that are trigger prone and often full of shame and fear, whether it's a desire or a failure in our relationship or something we don't know how to respond to, but we want to make a good response to it. Like, so there's very few places where men can actually talk about their penis right. or talk about their partner. And that isn't with a therapist or with guys in locker room talk.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's called the Conscious Cock Brotherhood. And it's just a Facebook group. It's closed group. And, you know, I am the moderator and make sure that like we're respectful,
right?
We're not shaming each other.
Yes.
Right. Been facilitating men's circles and discussion groups and stuff for a long time. So good facilitation allows us to access things that we can't access if we don't have a good, well-held safe space and helping hand to get there.
Right.
And sometimes the things that'll come out with a guy, they just make you want to cry. They're so poignant about like an issue that they've been dealing with their entire life. And sure. finally like have a moment where it changes for them and like everything changes in their life. Like
wow,
this is powerful. Real powerful work.
Yeah.
What do we want in life? But feel like we're getting to be who we want to be, getting to the right. place we want to be.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're just on autopilot and playing the part of the dutiful man all the time. Like you got to right. be able to be real. You have to have a space where you can talk about the things that are difficult.
Absolutely. I think that's great that you've done that. And what I love of you is you've kind of just created this multifaceted like thing to go with your book. You know, it's just tacked from so many different angles that someone is going to find something that works for them within that. And then maybe they can grow from there into the other areas, but it's going to create a starting point for someone for change in one of those avenues.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, I would go to the library to try to find books on sex and relationships.
Yeah. And then there's like nothing. I know. Right.
I couldn't find anything. I was, you know, 13, right? Just had puberty and I was starting to masturbate like all boys do, you know,
right.
And I wanted to learn about that. I wanted to know, is it okay? Can right. I do it too much? Is there something right. that's dangerous?
Can like, I hurt
is
myself?
This normal.
Yes. You
know, I wanted to know, and there was yep. nowhere for me to go. Now nowadays there's the internet, and guys can go to the internet, but often what right. they get is porn results.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So I basically created like a user's manual for men on sex and relationships and women.
Yep.
That isn't based on pickup culture or dating culture or a guy being a sleazeball or dominating women, like right. actual, true, engaged, egalitarian relating.
Yep. That's fantastic. I love your phrase too, where you talk about fuck your life, because that can be taken in so many different directions and different ways of depending on how you say it. Tell me about right. that.
Okay, well, there's this concept that a lot of us will identify with of being in the back seat in our life, not being in the driver's seat. Maybe I'm the nice guy, or maybe I'm the dutiful housewife, you know, whoever I am, but maybe I just feel like life is happening and I'm not out in control. And I, in my own life, have felt it multiple times. It's a practice that we do to check inside. Are my dreams withering on the vine? Am I not going after the things that I want in life? Am I putting everybody else first?
Right.
Ad nauseum. Is that my identity in life, that I am a caregiver and that that's what I do? I am a healer. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. You know, that my ego identity. Okay. Well, what if we look at the other side of that and say that like, it's really good to develop myself and differentiate myself and have my desires and allow myself to spend time doing those things. It could right. be a hobby or a sport that you love or an activity. Like I like flying, paragliding, hang gliding, flying a Cessna. I just love flight. It's just a passion of mine that I've had my whole life. But so much in my life, so many years, I've not fed that passion because I put everybody else first.
Right.
But then what ends up happening is I start feeling resentful.
Yes.
That like, I'm doing everything for everybody else. Well, wait a minute now. Hold on. Am I feeling bitchy because I'm in the backseat of my own life? Interesting here. Well, am I blaming you for that?
Right.
That's not, no. Let's shift that. So Fuck Your Life is about actually taking pleasure from your life. Actually allowing yourself to do the things that you want to do. Even just pick one.
Yeah.
Don't hurt anybody. I'm not talking about being a jerk. I'm saying like, actually, is there something inside of you that you really want to do?
Right.
That you've wanted to do for a long time? You know, enough of your excuses. You can even just read a book about that thing. If you can't afford going to school for it or can't afford the trip, it's okay. Just read about it. That'll fill a little bit of that'll stimulate that dream a little bit. So Fucking Your Life is about taking pleasure from your own life rather than being in the backseat. If you're just in the backseat of your entire life, then your life passes you by.
Yeah.
It goes so fast. But if you get in the driver's seat and you love yourself and you get yourself the things that you want, maybe you want a good car. Getting my car was a big deal for me. I always was going on, oh, I'll buy the cheapest, most economical thing just based on, you know, general principles for fiscal conservativeness for my family, you know, just, you know, putting myself second. Then one day I actually got the car that I wanted. And now every single time I get in the car to drive, I'm like in heaven. So I'm building more pleasure in my life and I'm loving my life more because I have this practice of fucking my life, of taking pleasure from my life. What do I really want to do? Okay, allow myself permission to get it on the calendar or feed that itch a little bit somehow, even if it's just reading about it or talking with somebody who knows about it or joining a Facebook group about that topic and seeing the posts. Like I can feed these parts of me that want pleasure. And then I end up loving my life more and more and more. You end up building a life that's delightful rather than having life build itself and us feeling powerless and then becoming resentful.
Yeah, I kind of think of it as you think of it this way, like feeding your passions.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's what the phrase that came to mind when you were talking about all that. Feed your passions. Do that. I mean, that's just going to, your life is going to grow from that in so many different ways and be so much better in so many different ways.
So if anything like came up for you while I was saying that, like that last little soliloquy there, that like, you know, soapbox that I just got up on, if anything
right.
came up for you in your mind of like, oh, a little thought of like a thing that you wanted to do for a while or for your entire life or something like that, pay attention to
right.
that. Right.
Yep.
And let that breathe in your consciousness and think about that. Is there a way that you could feed that in a way that is good for you and doesn't hurt anybody? Can you make some space for it that will nurture it? Care for that. That's a signal of who you are,
right.
What's unique about you. And if you don't go after it, no one else is going to do it for you.
Right. Only you can be you.
Yeah. Now, if you're not in a safe space, a lot of people are in an abusive
yeah,
relationship.
Right.
You know, this is a very real thing. And we need to not just be all privileged here, but acknowledge that a lot of us are not in spaces that are safe or secure.
Right.
So, and if that comes up for you, like, oh, I wish I could do this thing, but I'm not in a safe place to do that, then note that.
Yes.
Pay attention to that and allow that some space to breathe in your consciousness and right. sit with it. And then ask yourself, is there a way that I can build a little more safety in my life? Is there right. someone I can go to or an action I can take that can help move me in the direction of safety? Because my dream is over there in that green field of safety. So I need to move in that direction. You know, that can be calling in help.
Absolutely. It is great advice just for life and for relationships.
Yeah. It's also metaphorical. Like we talk about sex, but it's about life too.
Yeah, it is.
It's about our dreams and it's about our pleasure and it's about our bodies. It all comes into this great mishmash. So if we do sexual empowerment work, if we focus on improving our skills in relationship, we end up also working on ourselves
right.
and everyone can win. It's such call it sacred or holy and noble. It's really good work. It's really good for us to do in our lives.
Oh, absolutely. So do you get a lot of feedback from people outside of the Facebook group, or do you mostly get feedback from people who have read the book? How do you get feedback?
A lot of people contact me through my website, consciousnessblock.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have a contact form on there, and that's nice. You know, it's kind of anonymous.
Right,
I'm not seeing your Facebook profile, for example.
Yeah, true.
Like that. So like, and these things are important. We have right. to honor our own boundaries about safety, about do I feel safe enough to ask a question even. A lot of guys don't even feel safe enough to ask a question about a penis or their sexual experience. They're so locked. Not just guys. A lot of humans are just so locked up in fear and shame that they've never been able to ask a single question ever. And this might be the very first time they're even considering it. Like that is a precious place to be. So creating safety is a big thing in my work. So people can contact me through my website. They can, you know, contact me on Facebook if they don't mind, you know, coming through a Facebook profile. And then like, you know, as we take baby steps and then they're met with safety and reassurance and care, then that gives us a little bit more courage to maybe take that a little bit bigger step. And if we treat ourselves with this care and encouragement, fundamental encouragement for our own tenderness of courage, like we can help fertilize our own terrain and create a garden in our life, right, of beauty and richness and complexity and flavor, right? It just takes moving in the right direction, even if it's slow.
Absolutely. And you know, there is a way people that could go into the Facebook group and ask questions. I mean, you can easily make an anonymous account on Facebook just for the purpose of doing that. And, you know, maybe that's
lots of people do.
Yeah. And that's a way for people to do it without, you know, using their real name and face.
Yeah. So many people do. I mean, I am a sex educator in touch with the full spectrum of sexual experience for people. So I know a lot of people who are into swinging or casual sex and dating, you know, so they might have a profile that allows them to join groups on Facebook around certain topics that they don't want at all linked to their real name, that like their friends and their family and their boss. And that's okay. We need these layers of safety. Armor is functional in war. Right. You've got to wear armor if you're going to be in a fight. And a lot of our daily life is this kind of shame fight about sexuality. So if we want to open up, investigate our sexuality, it's really great if we can have these safe ways to do it. Watching a show on Netflix might be a safe way to do it. Listening to an audiobook,
You
can buy my book and get the audiobook. You can listen to that in headphones.
Oh, absolutely.
And no one knows what you're doing.
Right. And you can. And what I love about that is you can do it while you're doing some other work around the house or yard work, or, you know, there's so many ways that you could multitask and get the information while doing an audiobook.
And there's also like going away for like a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the next town over or something like that, or an online workshop, because there's so many resources online these days for spicing up your relationship, like checking out Tantra or sacred sexuality or full body massage that includes genital massage, revolutionary concept, like massage your partner and give them a happy ending. Oh my God, could that be lovely?
Right?
If you know how to do it, right?
Right.
If you're not triggering trauma from their past, if you're not bringing up lack of sense. Right. If you're not rushing it, like if you're actually in tune with what they want and what they're consenting to, it can be the most beautiful thing to massage their whole body and then end with lovemaking or an orgasm or just some pleasuring. Oh my Lord. There's so much you can learn about all these things. So what a wonderful world to jump into and learn to swim, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I just really have enjoyed talking with you. Is there anything else you would like to discuss or highlight?
Well, I'd love to ask one thing. Anybody who maybe gets my book or you, since you listened to it,
yes.
It's really hard for me to get reviews on Amazon because fundamentally difficult. So if you love my work, I would say, please, pretty please, if you could just go click 5 stars for me and leave a sentence about how you think the book helps people, that is gold because it's
absolutely.
So hard to get this message out there. And like, yep. You know, I've been doing this for so long and it's just really difficult to get those star ratings.
It is. It's really hard. And as we were saying too, people don't want others to know perhaps that they looked at this and there's a shame in that, which is really silly. There shouldn't be shame in trying to improve yourself and your sex life. And why is that shameful? Well, you know, it's just, that's just plain silly.
Yeah, I agree. We want to let go of our shame. We want to deconstruct our shame. We want to look at our shame and analyze it, you know, so that we can be freed from it. And I also acknowledge the very real reality for a lot of people that like their partner may not be as interested or open as they are, or their family, or there might be kids in the house, or they might not be safe and secure if their boss were to find out that they like to have wild sex, you know, or like have sex in the bathroom in the restaurant or something, like, you know, there's a lot of functional real fear that is protective of our lives that we have to honor. And also being able to let go of our shame within that is such a good thing, where we come to have confidence and accept ourselves and still navigate our world so that we are safe. And we're not making everybody around us uncomfortable because we want to liberate ourselves, you know, like honoring other people and honoring ourselves. There's this sensitive, balanced pathway that allows us to expand in our own life while also being safe, if we can preserve safety and not just be in the back seat, but allow ourselves to be eating some delicious nuggets that really feed our soul in our lives and not starving because we live in purity culture.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know we talk about purity culture a lot with some of the erotica authors that I've done interviews with. And, you know, because there is censorship and some erotica authors suddenly wake up and Amazon has completely dumped all their books.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, I've talked to people that has happened to, or they know someone that it happened to. And, you know, like there's no warning or anything and they don't even necessarily get to ever understand why. And that's part of that purity culture. I also interviewed a trans man who wrote in a book who's actually kind of scared with the current environment of censorship that his book might get prevented from even being published in self-published mode because of all of the blocks coming up. And that's really kind of sad to me to hear that kind of and it's a very real fear that we're getting totally censored and blocked. And basically all he's doing is writing a story.
What a world we live in where so much is hyper-sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go down the street in New York City and there's billboard ads everywhere of supermodels wearing this thing or this other thing.
Yep.
And in these really sexualized situations often are positions that are really provocative.
Yep.
We live in this culture where sex is just like all around us as like a sales marketing ploy that we live in this and we breathe it every day. And then at the same time, sex is shamed. We're told don't do that.
Right.
And it's bad. And you've got to be a good person and good, you know, so hypersexualized and shamed at the same time. It's like,
yes,
good luck. That is a clusterfuck. That
is
crazy making, right?
Is.
That is totally telling you one thing, but then, you know, making you evil for desiring it. So it's so hard to get sex positivity out there in the world.
It really is. And it's really sad.
So there are some mediums like you're doing in your podcast here that are exquisite for creating avenues to have discussions about this. Or there's communities, you could say, like an online community where maybe you join a website that has a membership and you pay a monthly fee to be a member of a website, and then you get to access to all the content. So there's lots of stuff about Tantra out there, or about couples relationship work that people can access, and that might be a fun way to collaborate. But in terms of like getting censored as a content creator, it's so frustrating. And then Facebook and Instagram are so sex negative.
Oh, yeah, they really are.
You can't even show a female nipple. I mean, I get it. It's all based on their profit model and their ads. And I know, right? It's just, here we are. This is the world we live in.
Oh, I know. And TikTok is pretty bad too, which I think it's really crazy. Some of the things that TikTok allows and other things they just shut down. Like I put a video up of images, book covers that Amazon allowed, and TikTok blocked it. I'm like, these are book covers of people kissing or holding each other. Nobody was naked. And they blocked it. I'm like, what? You know, I mean, even Amazon is okay with, because I was at the, it was a promotion that I was in with a bunch of other erotica authors. And I'm like, how is Amazon okay with these covers and TikTok is not? I don't get that. It's just messed up.
And then what is the percentage of internet content that is porn?
Right.
Like of all the websites and all the videos and content out there in the world on the internet in total, there is a certain percentage of that that is porn. You could say, quote unquote, adult content. And is it like half or something like that? Half of all content on the internet is porn? It's ridiculous. So like we've got like this purity culture that they're like, oh no, Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, like, oh no, no, we're good. We don't allow it. Can't even show a nipple, right? Like no nakedness. No, people don't have bodies. They always have to be covered. Unless you're in a string bikini.
They don't have nipples. We have no nipples.
Yeah, in a string bikini, then it's fine.
Right.
Okay, as long as you got a little floss there. You know? Right. But then like, it's kind of like in so many cultures, like a lot of Roman Catholics that I know, where it's, we've got this disowned shadow. Yeah. Like we get married, we profess till death do us part, you above all others, never anybody else. And then we have cheating relationships on the side and adultery.
Right.
And this is like so enculturated around the world that is the way it's done.
Right.
Because they can't actually have the hard conversation about maybe wanting to have another partner. So they just disown it and say, oh, we'll just not talk about that. Right. So it exists, sensuality and erotic content in the world today, because we've got this division where we say, oh, we can't talk about those things because those are base desires that we judge aren't good. Right.
Judgment. Yes.
Fundamentally written into our culture. So this is liberation work that we're talking about doing, and we do it for ourselves, right? And for the people that are touched by us. Yes. And we also, by doing it for ourselves, we also affect the community at large, our local community or the country that we lived in 2022, right? There is a great sexual or erotic awakening that's happening right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There is a huge revolution that's happening, and it's happening in the face of all this censorship.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And we are part of that. And it's wonderful to ride this wave. We are not alone. We all have this sense that, oh, I'm alone in this vast ocean, but it's not true. Like billions of people are hungry for this also, and also looking for pathways to like learn more about it and embrace the parts of themselves that they want to evolve into also. Like we're all doing it.
Right. Absolutely. It's okay to
talk about it. It's okay to own it.
Exactly. That's why I'm so glad that I could bring you on the podcast and talk about all of this and present it to people. And I cannot tell people enough. You need to get Chris's. You go by Chris or Christopher? Oh, I never asked you.
Either is fine. Okay. Either is fine. It's Christopher with a K, K-R-I-S, just so people know Chris Lovestone.
And it's on Amazon. Do you have it anywhere else or is that the main seller?
Oh, it's all over the world, but just go to my website, consciouscock.com. And then from there, you can jump to whatever book platform you want to jump to. But I mean, it's in Barnes & Noble and Booktopia. I mean, it's all over worldwide.
Yeah,
thank God. Got a publisher that wanted to like push my message to the world.
That's awesome. Good for them. So, and you've got the ebook, hardcover and the audiobook.
Yeah, all three are available. Yep. Very awesome. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been absolutely delightful. It's been
wonderful. Oh, and I'll put all your links down in the podcast notes. And then I also wanted to mention you're on Twitter. Are you on and Facebook? Are you on any other platforms? Or are those your two main ones?
I'm just about to start on Instagram. They shut me down and canceled my account. I just lost so much work that
it's so heartbreaking.
I've had like a hate relationship with them for the last couple of years, but I'm finally getting to the point where I'm going to start Instagram again. So I've got all these awesome tidbits and nuggets of great information and insight and advice and stuff like that that I'm creating. And then we're going to be scheduling it. So like if you subscribe to Instagram, Conscious Cock is called. There's going to be great regular content that's just going to be posted every day, you know, once I get this campaign launched. So it's actually going to be a lovely feed to be subscribed to where you're getting yummy doses of yumminess every day. Doses of like inspiring information every day, you know?
Sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Well, I just want to thank everybody who showed up to listen to the show today. Thank you for like doing this work in your life. It's really awesome that you're doing it for yourself. Keep going. Rah, rah, rah. You're amazing.
Absolutely. Just wonderful. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on my podcast and really excited to help promote your work. It's just very, 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 very valuable.
Well, thank you so much for the appreciation and the validation and the support. I really need it. It helps keep me going because this is just a passion project. I don't make any money doing this stuff. So having, you know, like, what do we call it? Allyship or solidarity.
Yes.
Know, like it helps us keep going because sometimes we're like, oh my God, I just want to give up.
So Well, again, thank you so much. And I hope you have an amazing day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yippee-ki-yay. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm so excited you're listening to my podcast. Thank you again. I would love it if you subscribed and leave me a comment, a rating. It really helps me out when you do. Find me on social media. You can find my website, runewillowauthor.com, and my books and audiobooks are on Amazon. Search Ruin Willow. I have, I don't know, maybe 15 audiobooks out there now, something like that. And I have erotica books as well. Find me on Medium too, and leave me a comment, a rating. It really helps me out when you do. I appreciate it so very much. Thank you so much for listening to this, and I hope you have a sexy fucking day. Love ya. Ready for some spring cleaning of your beard and groin hairs? Try out Manscaped products, where you can get 20% off with my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to get 20% off and free shipping. In order to get the discount, use the promo code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to do that spring cleaning to get yourself ready for sexy times. Heat up your spring with a new shave, a new trim. Perhaps try going bare. Get more skin smacks in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.